We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
My name is Jari Bolander. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Ethos Podcast. On this podcast, we're going to take a deep dive into the traits, values, beliefs, and skills of all sorts of entrepreneurs to learn how to build a more ethical, inclusive, and resilient world. Let's get started. On this episode of the podcast, I speak with Kairi Kemp, founder and CTO of Opti, a SaaS platform that gives high school students access to opportunities like internships and volunteering. He got the startup bug early after a brief stint in consulting. He is also a Guinness Book of World Record holder along with his co-founder, Weston. That world record led to him actually forming Opti. Kairi and I met through Founders Network, which is a peer mentoring community for startup founders. We talk about the importance of a co-founder that complements you and why it's important to set a daily intention to make things happen. He's also a huge oatmeal guy for surprising reason for someone his age. We talk about how easy it is for him to do the same thing day in and day out and why that's a powerful habit to have most of the time. He tries to do the same thing every day to reduce his cognitive load so he can make important decisions easier. He also uses his daily workouts to do a mental cleanup so that he can reprioritize what he has to do, as well as getting bursts of ideas for problems he needs to solve. I had a great time chatting with him, and it was also great to hear what it was like to break a world record. Now, let's get better together. Cool. Well, I'm here with Kairi Kemp. Right? I got it right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm bad with names. That's just me. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. Here, back at Focus, where, you know, I did that other pod interview with Ravi, who's downstairs working. Wanted to have you on the pod and talk a little bit about kind of what you're doing. But first, just sort of your background real quick, give us an introduction, and then, you know, we'll start talking about like what you do.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thanks for having me on the show. I guess in terms of my background, the quick thing there is that I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. Stayed there until I was about maybe 18, came out to California. I don't want to go into off on a tangent too much. But
get tangent away. Yeah. Fine, man.
So I came here for a girl that I was in love with. You know,
and there's so many young men have that same story.
that's the only way to get to California, apparently. So, but yeah, then from here, I mean, things just changed. It was a big time change for me. I started going to college, then just started to feed off of the energy from other people I surrounded myself with that were ambitious, that were looking to take things to the next level. And I had a lot of fun trying to do that myself. So had a brief career in consulting after graduation. Immediately started giving back to students because I was like, hey, okay, so I've done it, or I've been able to do something really well coming from where I grew up. And then I just wanted to sort of give back to others. So I started a nonprofit company called Building Block. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I just became completely immersed in the lifestyle of helping high school students get ahead. So that led to the development of a software company. And now it led me here talking to you.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, where did we meet again?
Founders Network.
Founders Network, right. Another Founders Network connection. So I guess it's a pretty good thing to be a part of. They don't even sponsor this yet, so. But I am a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. So what do you do like on a daily basis? And part of what we talk about here is like the daily things to be successful, and the mindset and the behaviors and the attitudes that we're all trying to kind of work on daily in order to, you know, survive and thrive. So can you tell me a little bit about what you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, so I'd say it is very dynamic. Like my days are never really the same, but on a daily basis, I may be seeing what's going on with the nonprofit side and managing a team, or having a few phone calls there to make sure that we're hitting, you know, our milestones for the week. And then on the software side, I mean, I used to be developing it myself, like working on the code. But these days, I just work with the team to do that. So it is a lot of management, a lot of coordination these days. But I'd say the most important thing is like, I assess like my resources like all the time. And I have a co-founder who actually is the opposite to me in many ways. So I'm able to focus on implementation. I'm able to focus on execution because I like that drive.
Yeah.
And he's focusing on, you know, ways out, like a year out, 2 years, 5 years out. And that's his thing. So that constant conversation back and forth of like, where are we going and what do we need today? That allows me to put it all into perspective to say, okay, what do I need to do for the next week, for the next 2 weeks? And I just love to just really grind away and focus on what's in front of me.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, like even right now, I just got a data set. I just got a data set of a district that we work with, and they said, here are all our business partners. And I was actually looking forward to just analyzing that, seeing, you know, how many partners they have, how many are active, how many are no longer providing for the students, and really seeing what insights I could provide and, you know, make sure that we're working with them to make their business partner pull better.
Okay. I mean, are there like personal habits that you have? I mean, like other than, I mean, I get the, you know, okay, every day is a different day, which it is. And it's good that you're flexible. Some people are like, no, must do, you know.
Yeah.
But are there like a daily personal practice or anything that's like, you know, what are some of those things?
So I wake up and I stay in bed usually for like maybe 30 minutes. I wake up around 6. And what I'll do is, like, I'll read the news, and here in California, like, the market opens at, like, 6:30. Mm-hmm. So I'll normally just, like, see what's going on, like, that early activity. And I'm big on just, like, following stocks, like, right now. So I do that, like, every morning. And stocks in itself, I won't go too deep, but, you know, it has those psychological implications of, like, how is everyone responding to this news event? Or how is everyone seeing, you know, the forward outlook of this company that just emerged or just IPO'd? And so I'm able to tap into some of that. And if I am interested, I'll double click into something and say, okay, I wonder what's going on with Beyond Meat today or something like that. But, yeah, then after that, I usually just, oh, daily. I'm a huge oatmeal guy.
Okay. Huge oatmeal guy. All right. So,
but I mean, just like plain, like steel cut, like just super bland. And that was because a few years ago, like my cholesterol was high and I first started doing it.
Your cholesterol was high.
My cholesterol was high.
You're like half my age. There's no, how could your cholesterol be high? What were you eating that your cholesterol's high?
I mean, I don't know, man.
There's hope for me. No, I'm kidding. I don't wish any of that on it. They said your cholesterol was high? Really?
Cholesterol was high. It was like, I was like a few numbers into like high territory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, like, let me just sort of start small, see what I can do like on a daily. And I was like, there's nothing stopping me from eating oatmeal every day. And that was my thing. And a bunch of doctors said, like, you know, didn't hear so much about Cheerios, but I did hear oatmeal and I just went for it. And now it's like, I get a big bag from Costco for like 10 bucks and, it lasts me like a month.
You eat every day, you don't know.
Yeah, every day. Every day.
And is your cholesterol better?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm actually going in like, I think 2 weeks to go like monitor it to see where I'm at right now. But I have seen reductions.
Wow.
So
that was sort of a habit that kind of out of necessity would be the, yeah. Could you have picked another thing, or there must be a reason why oatmeal?
So
I mean, that's like oatmeal every day. Like, whoa.
Well, because personally, like I can do the same thing over and over without like tiring.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny because I know that I said like each day is dynamic and that's interesting.
Yeah.
But the fact that I can do like the same thing every day and like I don't mind if it were to be that way is actually kind of odd. Like I can eat. Well, I've been eating oatmeal every day, but even for dinner, like, you know, if it's like, pasta that I make just cause it's like low cost, I've been known to have PB&J binges where it's just like every day just spreading, but, it just things like that, at least that you don't have to think about too much. It's kind of like the Steve Jobs, like wearing like a
turtleneck. Yeah. The not making decisions,
right.
Right. Reducing your cognitive load so you can make decisions on other things. So do you try to do that every day? Or is that sort of part of the model or part of model's a bad word, but part of like how you live? It's like,
yeah, I'd say that's a good question. I think it's like any time that I find myself like spending, I'd say even more than 30 seconds, like making progress on a decision, then I feel great. Like defaulting to what I already know is like tried and true. For the simple things specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, if I'm like in line, you know, at a Starbucks, then like, I'll just get a drip or I'll get like a vanilla, like latte. Those are my two. Everything else on the menu, like doesn't exist.
That's your go-to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah, on a daily, I do try to like simplify, as you said, my cognitive load, like for the things that I have maybe one or two options that I always go with. And it's like, cool. I'm happy with that. And I can think about something else.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that do that. I mean, especially, you know, we're in Silicon Valley. Everyone's like wearing the t-shirt and jeans because I don't want to think about what I wear. Yeah, well, yeah. All right. You know, I get it, but you know, that's still kind of a cop out. I mean, I still wear t-shirts and hoodies, so I'm guilty as charged.
Yeah. I mean, what about you? What are your like daily?
I mean, for me, I work out every day. I try to work out every day, either some sort of CrossFit kind of weightlifting or jujitsu.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I try to do that.
The cool kids call it rolling.
Right? Yeah. Rolling and getting crushed by younger folk. I'm a bit older than them, but, it's just a really good practice for, the discipline of physicality.
Right.
Because I can sense when I don't do things physical, I'm in a bad mood, bad mood. And I don't ever want to be in a bad mood. People are in bad moods sometimes, but I just feel better when I physically do stuff. And then I'll meditate to try to center my mind. And that's a new thing.
Okay.
Just because the world can sometimes be a bit chaotic and focusing in on a practice of breathing and just sort of having that time for you, like that's nobody else's time but mine,
right,
helps. Right. And then I try to reduce decision fatigue.
Okay.
But my day is similar to yours. It's like, what's going to happen today?
Exactly.
But I tend to jump out of bed. I do not linger. I'm just like, done. Okay. What are we doing?
Okay. I'd say for like my workout time, like it varies. Like if I'm going to work out like early, like I might hit it at like 7, but usually I try to do it like in the evening.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my thing.
So you're like an evening workout guy. What do you do to work out?
So currently I'm in like, I'm doing like circuits.
Okay.
So I'll do like maybe like 3 muscle groups, like in a workout, and just kind of get a nice balance, mm-hmm. Nice rhythm. And I always start my workouts with a run. So it'd be like maybe 10 minutes, just like a quick mile.
Yeah.
Well, like I guess 8 minutes and 34 seconds if I'm at like,
oh, seven. No, that's 34. You even know.
That's super slow.
Well, I'll just say like my fastest mile when I was in high school was 5:40.
Oh, wow.
Because I was a cross-country runner.
Okay.
And then the fastest one I've done when I'm this age was like, I think I hit 7.
Okay.
But that was just for a mile, and then I like gassed out. Yeah. But
I mean, I was going to say the same. The fastest I've ever done is like a mile. I mean, 7 minutes.
Yeah. That's quick. I mean, you like...
You feel it. It's
you feel it, and it's like the difference between 8:30 and... 6 and or 8:38, 7:30 is like it's like exponential. You're like, exactly. I think my heart's gonna explode.
Oh yeah.
So okay,
8:34 is a good pace where I'm able to just like just hang and like think about some things. So it's kind of like meditation, but not.
Oh okay.
You know, so I'm always like in my head like at the time, and really? It's better to be in my head if I'm not worried about falling off the
track. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you really can't think about anything else when you're trying to like save your life.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, if I misstep, I am planted and shot out the window at the thing in the back.
Just rocketing towards
this is going to make Jim fails on Instagram, and I'm going to be like,
look at this idiot.
Right. So is physical, like, you do that on the regular? Is that, like, something that helps you?
Yeah, it does. Like, even, so I have this unusual setup where I spend an absurd amount of hours with my co-founder, which is great for communication, but it requires that balance where you need to step away and have your own time.
So yeah.
There'll even be times when we head to the gym together,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like, all right, see you in an hour.
Yeah,
you know, and you split up.
Yeah.
But, I'd say for me, it's big. Like, I'm really big on it because, like, that's, like, my sort of escape into just, you know, clearing my, you know, excessive thoughts or just, like, streamlining, like, exactly what I need to be thinking about at that time. And I do a little bit of mental cleanup.
Oh, okay. When you talk about mental cleanup, is it just the fact that you're moving around and exercising that you can't think the thoughts? Or are you like, I'm processing, like, oh,
processing.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So there'll be some things that will come up for the day. Right. And depending on whatever that is, maybe it's a new ask from a district, maybe it's a new bug that we discovered with tech, and it allows me to, I guess, reprioritize is a better word, where I can make sure that the important things are floating to the top and the things that, you know, can be dealt with in a day or two are, you know, maybe mid or bottom tier.
So you find that's the best way for you to do that?
Yeah, at least to conceptualize it, and then like maybe later on, like I'll go into like my notes and like I'll tweak some things there and lock it there. But for clarity, just to go through it, yeah, at the gym is where I do it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Because something about physicality that clears the mind.
Gets the blood flowing, man.
Yeah, blood flowing and endorphins.
Yeah.
And I always say when I'm rolling, especially when I'm rolling against someone that's like, 20 years younger, 25 pounds heavier, right? Which is like legit. That happens all the time. Hard to.
I mean, you're pretty fit.
I am, but I'm telling you, that's like it's a tough. It's, you know, it's kind of hard to worry about the little trivial things when someone's trying to choke you out.
Yeah,
you're just worried about, I need to not get crushed.
Right.
And for whatever reason, there's something just cathartic about that, or like free. There's a freedom to that. And I think a lot of people that I talk to have a physical sort of practice, you know, behavior, kind of routine, because that physicality, you know, the blood flows, the endorphins, and they feel like the stress that builds up over the day gets released. Like, I feel much better. Yeah.
So it's and I think that's a good point for me. So a lot of times, like, I'll do maybe like sets of 8 to 12 is like usually like my range. Occasionally on like a power set, I'll do like 5.
Yeah.
Right. But, during like my actual set, Like, I'm definitely thinking about, like, lifting the weight.
Yeah.
But in between sets, you get the 30 seconds, 40 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised, like, the small bursts of ideas that you might get, like, in between sets. Like, yeah. If your mind is just, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Like, I get it.
In the background, you're thinking about, okay, like, I had this bug come up today. And you're like, okay, well, what if we just... Oh, yeah, why not... Yeah, there we go. Like, as soon as, you know, I can, I'll make the phone call and, like, we'll take care of it together. So you get some, like, innovation that occurs, like, in between sets sometimes. And it's really cool. It's like a brain blast Jimmy Neutron kind of thing.
Jimmy Neutron, that's pretty cool. Brain blast. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I get my best ideas in the shower.
Right.
You know, maybe it's that kind of attitude and practice to step away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you could be knee deep in it and like working, but cognitively,
mm-hmm.
if you really want to be creative and solve problems.
Right. I mean, it's like a Sarah Blakely, I believe, like she drives around on purpose. Like she adds like an, like she lives super close to where she works, apparently, but she said she'll drive around for like an hour because that's where she feels she gets most of her ideas.
Oh, interesting.
So she like artificially extends her commute to get that going. So it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I would never purposely drive more.
Right.
I am not a fan.
I mean, especially here in San Francisco.
It's ridiculous, the silly traffic and all that kind of stuff. So tell me about the company that you're working on right now, Opti.
Yes.
Yeah, so explain a little bit about what Opti does explain a little bit about what Opti does.
So I guess it goes back a little bit, and we kind of covered like the transition to how I got mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we go back to my consulting career, right, and then working on this nonprofit, like with great people, we've amassed maybe 50 people total that like actually like have rallied behind the idea of helping these high school students. And it was through resume workshops or like constant, I guess, interaction with the high school students where we discovered that there is no aggregated site for students to find out like what's available for them, like from 9th to 12th grade.
Okay.
And it seemed so simple. And I said, no, there must be something like this. And we looked and a few people put their heads together and we said, there's nothing, right? There are a few things that touched on it. Like you can get creative, but Google searches were misfiring, right? If you type in high school internship, like 9 out of 10 times you get intern at a high school, like recent college grad.
Yeah. Right? The keywords matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. I could see that. Yeah.
So huge misfires. And so we said, hey, you know what, we're a couple problem solving guys, like let's create like a separate site where we can house, you know, anything that we gather and find. And just being, I guess, a little diligent in that process, once we saw that it was something that was like really needed, we figured let's get ahead of it and set it up as a separate entity. So that is Opti today.
Mm-hmm.
It's grown, I'd say, in just the course of a year. We have like 150,000 students that can access our platform and see, you know, what's in their areas. Mainly in the metropolitan areas, like around the country. But yeah they look for ways to volunteer, right? So that would be Habitat for Humanity, American Red Cross.
Yeah.
They, you know, We don't have a ton of internships available right now, but yeah, anything that we find, or anything that someone emails us, send us, we like put it in there, right now. And, we make sure that anything that we find out about, students can access it.
Cool. And, so what's interesting, is how you kind of validated the market.
Right.
And, so you will probably be my first and only guest that holds a Guinness World Record. So I got to find some more.
Yeah.
And it's a really, really interesting thing what you guys did and how you got the record. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? And actually would love to know how the daily stuff went on that.
Oh, because I got a lot of content about that.
We're just like peeling the onion here. Talk a little bit about that, because that's really cool. I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, Guinness World Records, pretty cool. My stepdaughter wants to have a record.
Okay.
So, She's working on it.
Well, we can, I think we have a few extra, like, medallions to say, like, Guinness record, like, attempt. I can definitely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, like, oh, oh, over to oh, my God, yeah. Be a hero. Yeah. Yeah, send it over. That'd be yeah. great. Yeah. Cool.
So, all right. So this road trip, it was the brainchild of actually my co-founder. So mm-hmm. he, I had wanted.
What's his name?
Weston.
Weston, right.
Weston. And so Weston had been saying, hey, you know, like, it would be really great, like, if we could, in fact, validate and say, this solution that's been working here in Southern California, I wonder if other cities, other states have the same problem. And so he drives a Tesla. So it had free charging, right?
Yeah.
Free electricity. And so we're like, okay, well, if we drove around, we wouldn't have to pay for, like, flights or anything. It'd be pretty cheap there.
Yeah.
And if we slept in the car, then we wouldn't have to pay for hotels.
And so, what kind of Tesla is it?
So it's actually just a Model S.
Model S, so just a sedan. Model S sedan. Yeah. So okay.
Not like, you know, excessive storage.
Well, it ain't like the one, what's the, like, it's almost like an SUV kind of looking one. The one right. with the gull wing.
Right, exactly.
So it's the standard, quote
standard
unquote.
Standard sedan.
Okay.
But, yeah, so we started putting it together and we started actually calling a lot of these schools, districts, or schools around the country to preliminarily just, like, you know, gauge what was going on. So we did that for about a month or two, and we realized, like, okay, you know, we're able to set up some meetings because we were saying, all right, if we go at the end of the year, it should be a really good time because it wouldn't be too cold yet, so mm-hmm. we could go the northern route, come through, like, Minnesota and everything, and then come through the south, like, on the way back, like, mm-hmm. in December when it just started getting, like, super freezing outside.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so we started calling these districts and trying to set up meetings, but they would say, hey, all right, put some time in my calendar, like, 2 months from now. And it was just, like, it was really hard to book a meeting with some of these folks.
Wow. Okay.
And so we were like, okay, we'll do what we can. And we actually had interns help us out with the routing. And the plans for, like, okay, you guys got to go to this city and then this city specifically. But if you try to go to this city straight away, you're going to run out of battery.
Oh, wow.
So it was very...
So cool little data thing.
Yeah.
To, like, that there's that classic problem with the... They have this... It's the salesman problem. Mm-hmm. Where they're like, oh, we want to have the salesman go to all 50 capitals or right. 48 capitals.
Yeah.
What's the most efficient way? And right. It's almost unsolvable in some ways. I mean, right. traditionally, mm-hmm. but yeah. So it sounds like
yeah,
you I guys mean, were trying to do that with interns.
Exactly. I mean,
and that's so, pretty cool. Yeah. Like, good luck, bro.
Yeah. They're like, I hope it works.
Yeah. You kind of need to know where the plugging stay or the charging stations are. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they were doing this over the summer. So we had, you know, a few months of lead time. Mm. But we kept joking with them that it was like, if you guys were doing it, you know, like during November or October, it would be like we had like headquarters and we'd call back and say, hey, what was this route that you planned here?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it worked out fine actually from a routing perspective. Like we like deviated a little bit just because we could, but like for the most part, their plan was solid. So
you went to how many cities?
So I believe the count was about 80 cities.
In all 48 states?
All 48 states.
Lower 48. And what's the world record?
So the world record itself is about being the most sustainable or like fuel efficient vehicle to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's why, I mean, we took about 3 months on this trip, so we weren't racing against the clock.
You know, like round the world in 80 days.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, not at all. So, but it still, I mean, it still comes out to being like, you know, a city a day. So yeah. we were, I mean, we put 16,000 miles on this car.
Wow.
On my personal vehicle, I don't hit that in a year.
Yeah, yeah. And you did that in, was it?
Did that in 3 months.
3 months.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. Lot of driving. But yeah, so during that trip, we were able to set up some meetings, but then sometimes we just had to wing it. So we would go into a school district in Delaware, right? And we'd say, hey, you know, we drove all the way from California. We're really passionate about, you know, making change and impacting these students positively and helping them find these opportunities. And they'd say, all right, I'll give you 30 minutes. And so...
Really?
So
wow.
But I mean...
That's like, hustle, man. I mean, that... Wow. So that's pretty cool. That's like the ultimate cold call.
It's like
you're like a bottle. You're like a brush salesman. You're like dunk dunk dunk.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say door to door salesman.
I mean, yeah. No, I mean, like, I mean, how could they say no?
Right.
Did anyone say no?
Not really. At worst, it was like we missed them. Like, as in, like maybe we got there when they had like left for the day or something like that.
Yeah.
And because of the schedule, like we couldn't come back to meet them in person, so we just left a handwritten note or something and said, like, hey.
A handwritten note?
Handwritten note. And said, like, hey, it'd be great if we can catch up sometime. Sorry we missed you, kind of deal.
Wow.
But, yeah. But the biggest thing of the trip that I don't want to communicate here is that you got to be really close with the person.
I mean, you slept in the car.
Slept in the car. So, I mean, he's about my size. So, you know, I'm about 5'10", like, 180. He's like 6 foot, like 190 or something like that. So we're pretty much shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. There. Well, I mean, the back. I mean, that's not a big car.
Yeah, it's not. No. It's not. You put down the back seats. We had this. We actually had this mattress sponsored for us. So cool. It was cool. We laid it flat, and then I just climb in. Sometimes we would park. I mean, because the charging station is where we'd sleep often.
Hmm.
So we would just like hop out of the trunk in the mornings and people getting their Starbucks or something be like, what are these kids doing?
Of course the charging station's near a Starbucks. I mean, that's gotta be by default, right? Like they should have sponsored you. You could have gone to every Starbucks.
Well, so, I mean, there's so many details about this thing. Like we found like a Burger King promo where it's like you pay, I think it was like $5 a month for like one coffee a day. And so that was huge. So we did that while we were on the road. Just like, I mean, we were very frugal.
Wow. So the Burger King $5 a month coffee a day.
Yep.
Was what state was that in? Was that even?
That was national.
That was national.
National.
God, how did they even...
Like, I mean, they cut it like after like maybe a month and a half into the program.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, we're losing our shirts on this. Yeah. I mean, coffee ain't free.
Yeah, but I mean, on a daily, you're talking about different rotations of driving, right? So we'll take turns there. Maybe, you know, one is like on the laptop, like working while the other one is driving.
Were you still running the nonprofit while you guys were?
Yeah. And it was really cool because we had this team from USC.
Uh-huh.
It was like a class of like 30 kids for a growth hacking class.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually working with us too to help maybe run some Google ads or things like that about our organization like while we were on the trip.
Uh-huh.
And so we just had a lot of different initiatives like going at the time to like maximize our outreach. You know, and I actually about maybe 20 days into the trip, we would, you know, walk into some of these districts and we would tell them, you know, we're from Building Block and we're, you know, this is what we do. And they'd be like, oh, I think I've heard of you guys. And I was like, what? This is amazing. I don't know how, but tell me how.
Well, was there something that like the ads or these USC
so it was like,
kids
it was like,
were yeah. like.
Just
growth hacking it.
Yeah, it was like a combination of ads. We did get like an ABC7 like article at the time to say like what we were doing, to say, hey, these guys are going across the country to validate this problem or to help these students nationally. So shotgun approach, you know, anywhere that we could blast a message and get through it, it paid off.
I mean, that's a lot of hustle.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that you like roll up and you're like, hey, we came all the way from California.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us?
I guarantee you this.
And most people did.
The further away from California you get, the heavier that line hits. So when you're in like Maine,
yeah,
you're like, wow, California. You drove here. You're like,
wow, okay, cool. That's
when you're in like Nevada, they're like,
all right, yeah, I mean,
come,
people,
come back next week.
Yeah, people drive that all the time. And so what did you learn? I mean, did you validate that this was a problem? Because why don't you explain a little bit about how that solidified your strategy? Because I mean, a lot of times, I mean, I talk with a lot of entrepreneurs, mentor a lot of entrepreneurs. I've been doing it a long time, and you're the first person that I've actually met that's actually like done something like this. Most people will say, okay, talk to 100 customers.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You can do that or whatever.
Right.
But to actually be like, no, we're going to go to every place that could potentially be a customer, because you could have a customer in the district or whatever, and we're going to like press and grin with them and show up and be like, hey, is this a problem?
Right.
I mean, that's what you have to do, but interesting way to do it.
I think that you touched on it exactly there. It's like being in person, right? Like connecting with each other. I went to one district, and we walked in, and the meeting turned into a 3-hour, like, event.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And we're literally sitting across from, you know, that district lead who's, like, canceling meetings, like, while we're sitting there, who's like, I really support what you guys do, and I appreciate that you came all the way out here, right, to help us out. And so in that way, what we learned from it was that even though there are a lot of nuances, right? Like, maybe one district has a program that is very young and they just started looking at like career exploration for their students or putting some dollars behind it, like, you know, within the last year or two. And there are some programs that are very sophisticated that have different types of problems that are not like, hey, how do I get started? But how do I maybe, refine it so that more students know what we do and more parents know what we do so that they're encouraged to, you know, get these early opportunities. So there are ways that we were able to absorb all that data from all the people that we met with and I guess, find the recurring issues that were floating to the top to say, okay, so even though the list is like, you know, 300 rows of like, you know, what could be nice, there's actually maybe 30 rows, maybe just 10% of them that no matter where you are in the country, like that is the problem that you're dealing with today that you don't have a solution for. And so that kind of validation was like, okay, like even the districts that are like kind of far along, like still want to work with us and work with the Opti platform to have their students find out what they can do.
So do you think you would have gotten that data if you just called them up on the phone?
I don't think so, because these district leads, they get solicited like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have like different priorities, right? If there is a serious matter at a school, that district lead has to run over there and take care of that. And so, for the entire district, you're talking about a range of activities that's not just career exploration for the students. I mean, there's safety, it just ranges. We just happen to work specifically with the career side of it. But I say that from the phone calls that we did make beforehand, we weren't able to get data that was this rich, right? We weren't able to sit down and say, okay, really tell me, like, you know, what have you experienced that you think could be improved? And the most awesome part about it was there was this compounding effect on our knowledge base.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
So each district that we talked to and like started to understand their problems, by the time we got to like the fifth one, like we seemed like experts, right? Because we're like, yeah, we know. Okay. So yeah. Do you guys deal with this also? And they said, yes. Right. And we knew the most intricate details about their problems even before we got there sometimes. And so we just continued to learn more, and that made the subsequent conversations more rich.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good point, because some people I've talked to, they'll use a focused, concentrated time of effort to like move a project forward. This is typically if you're a writer, you know, they'll go sequester themselves for the weekend, you know, in some cabin and be like banging out the words, but and not going crazy or not meeting, you know, misery in the novel, right?
Yeah.
But I find that really interesting that focus, this is all we're doing for 3 months. We are gonna like sprint on this and we're just gonna be consumed by it. And as we go along, we're gonna just learn a ton. Because I mean, I can see that if you roll in and you've done six of these,
right?
And you sort of like, it's all in your head already. Like it's, and you've done it personally. So, so you can kind of feel like,
right.
And then, you know, the people be like, hey, well, really what he meant was, you know, like when you walk out, hey, man, like, actually, yeah, let me send you a note. Yeah. And then now that you know them, now it's easy to be like, hey, it was great to meet you.
So
like, that follow up.
So I'll make a quick note on that. So There was a guy from another district that I called about a month after we visited him in person. Actually, maybe 2 months later. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it was like, hey, just following up. You know, I know that from our last conversation where we met, I was like, well, we'll follow up at this time and then we'll see, you know, what we can do going forward. Yeah. So I'm just kind of staying true to that and just, you know, seeing where we're at today. And at first, he was pretty abrasive, right? It was like, who are you? Right? And then as soon as I said, it's me, it's Kyrie, right? We met like in this specific way at this specific place on your way to another meeting. And he's like, oh my God, hey. And then it just completely opened up, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is the power of having that in-person connection, right? Yeah. Because at first it's just like, who are you? You're just a number, right? You're just a voice on the
phone. Voice on the phone.
But as soon as he remembered, it was like the conversation just, I mean, it was like a 180. The energy was open. It was like, yeah, you know what? I remember exactly like what we talked about. I remember exactly what you guys do. Yeah, you know what? I actually think I owe you something, right? Like, I remember like I had to send you this, and it was great. And things just moved along like very well. Like from that very moment, he remembered me.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, part of what I'm trying to do with this podcast is I want to do this as much as I can in person.
Right.
Like literally like, right. You know, I was in Nashville. I did one in Nashville. You know, I'm doing one here with you. And I know you flew up from LA, you know, of course, to do this. totally serendipitous.
We drove up. Still in the road trip mobile.
You guys, you did?
Yeah.
We did. Oh, cool, we man. Did. Cool. That's just such a great story. So, but yeah, I mean, it's like, in terms of like a habit to bring connection, right? Mm-hmm. I do think getting out and like face to face, what, you know, what politicians call press and grin,
right.
Which is what Jane, my late wife, Jane used to call it all the time. Like, oh, you got to do the press and grin. Yeah. All right. Hey, I don't like it, but I got to do it. But it is interesting how it like the energy changes mm-hmm. and I mean, it's harder to do. Mm-hmm. It shows more effort.
Right.
You're like thoughtful. Like, you know, I had lunch today with a friend of mine. He's got a new job, you know, and I mean, like, yeah, I'll come to you. Like I physically went down there. And so, you know, as a way to change for the better, it seems, having the attitude of trying to be in person. If you can, right? I mean, sometimes you can.
I mean, so you look at the age range of a lot of these directors, like in my space. And so for them, they may be, you know, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that generation too, like, puts a premium on like in-person meetings for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they're Gen X. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're at the cusp of, you know, we weren't digital native, right? The internet did not exist when we were growing up. I mean, if it did, it was dial-up modem, right? And like, you've got mail. It's like, you know, right?
Right. So in that way, it's just like, you know, maybe in the future, maybe, you know, virtual conferences will be more of like the norm just because of the convenience possibly.
Yeah.
But I'd say like right now, we're still at this critical point where there's just no substitute. And it's not going to be as impactful if you're not there in person. Right? And so... even with you, like we spoke on the phone, right? And we had a great conversation.
Yeah, we did.
Being here, like you can't replace this. Like,
no,
this is awesome.
No. Yeah, totally different. I mean, yeah, I agree. No, I agree. I mean, it. I guess if you can do it, like it's important. I mean, I work for myself, and so I tend to work from home. So, I mean, if I wanted to, I could stay home all day, and I don't because, you know. I know how important it is to have that habit of, no, go see people. You know, even if you go down to the local coffee shop and just say hello to the barista.
Right.
Or, you know, your favorite sandwich shop.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, interesting. So I just like the fact that, I mean, how did the idea come up to go to all these places?
So.
Because, I mean, 3 months, I mean, most of us would have to. You know, work, which you guys were doing. I'm not dissing you for that. I mean, it's the ultimate, like I'm working from the road.
Yeah.
Cause I'm literally in the car working from the road.
Right. It's like, hey, I'm on this call. How's the road noise?
Well, that was funny. I tried to do one of these interviews with Ravi when we were in Atlantic City and the road noise was just horrible. I mean, I'm just like, this is like, so I'm like, I spare everyone that, you know, you don't have to hear that, but anyway, how did it, What was the idea? What was the genesis of the idea?
I think it was really because if we think about the impact that we wanted to have, we knew that we would have to expand, right? And we would have to go about it in a way that really gave us strong confirmation that the problem was a national problem. And so in that sense, it's like, you know, it's great to add value to students in Southern California.
Yeah, where you guys are based. Yeah.
Where we're based. And in a sense, that was like the easy part.
Yeah.
But how do we know if someone in, you know, Dallas, like, needs a solution as well? Or,
yeah,
you know, just it's really just around how do we know? And we knew that once we started asking those questions, we had national aspirations. And to us, that was like the best surefire way to get that comfort around that direction. And I mean, going coast to coast, like I grew up in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
So being back home and then even going to my old high school and confirming there, I mean, you're talking about levels of nostalgia, and then you have to ask the question where you're like, hey, could I have used this? Yes, I could have used this when I was in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And that's really cool. Yeah.
So, you know, just having that national validation was huge, and I felt like it was responsible for us to do that before committing, you know, serious resources from other people or like time, money, anything like that, to say, hey, we are very sure that we are solving this problem, and let's do it together. And that's how it came about.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a good place to end. Appreciate your time. It was great to meet you in person, and you know, good luck on. He's trying to raise money, so we all as entrepreneurs know how fun that is, quote unquote. You know, I mean, it's just a game, as we talked about before. You just play the game and do what you got to do.
I think you know, it's I've seen at times, like, they say, hey, you know, like, during fundraising, right, like, the founders, like, really have to, like, lock in. But I find it, like, really important to try to make sure that we're making progress on the day-to-day, like, during this process. Like, I don't want to let up on growth or, like, helping students just to say I'm chasing dollars or anything at this moment. So I'm able to, like, divide and conquer, of course, with Westin. And so, this is – it's just all part of the journey, man. So I'm here, and, of course, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really cool.
Thanks for sharing some of that knowledge. Yeah. Too, man.
Like I said, I'm probably not full of it, but sometimes I am, because, anyway, sometimes it's – the journey's the journey. So appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Entrepreneur Ethos podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did creating it. My hope is that you learned something that can make you a little bit better. If you enjoyed the podcast, please do share it with friends and review it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also join my email list by visiting thedailymba.com to get my thoughts on what I'm doing to get better, as well as what I'm working on. You can also pick up my book, The Entrepreneur Ethos, if you want to learn the traits, values, and beliefs that I think we need to build a more ethical, inclusive, and resilient entrepreneur, and frankly, world community. Feel free to follow me on Twitter at TheDailyMBA, and let me know if you have any questions or recommendations for a guest that you'd like me to talk to. Also, drop me a note if you try anything we talked about in this or any other episode. I'd love to hear what's working for you. Until next time, keep getting better.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in a new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series now streaming on Showtime.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.